Well, we turn now to events here in Washington. This morning, President Bush nominated Republican Congressman Porter Goss to be the next director of Central Intelligence. Joining us to talk about this is David Sanger, White House correspondent for The New York Times. He's in his office here in Washington. Nice to have you back, David.
Always good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Porter Goss. He's served a fair amount of time in Congress and quite a bit of time as chairman of the House Intelligence Committee.
He has. He is a former CIA officer himself. He was in the Directorate of Operations back 35, 40 years ago. He is from Florida, and in fact, I think among his past qualifications was mayor of Sanibel, which is not the usual mix that you get with CIA officers. But he is not an uncontroversial candidate for this job. Many Democrats believe he is highly partisan. He came out on the floor of the House in June 23rd, and did a very direct attack on Senator John Kerry, quoting from Mr. Kerry's statements, I think back in 1997, basically raising the question of why the intelligence apparatus of the U.S. is continuing to grow, and is making the argument that Senator Kerry was among Democrats who wanted to dismantle or cut back on American intelligence. Mr. Kerry, as you can imagine, has a very different view of that. But ever since June, the result is the Democrats are very much of the mind that Mr. Goss is a partisan and therefore not somebody who should be running the CIA. So I think that what you're into at this point is a large fight on the Hill over this nomination. And, of course, Mr. Goss is going into a lesser job than his predecessors had because the president has endorsed a national director of intelligence who would be over the CIA director.
And will that be, in fact, we've already heard some Democrats come out and say, well, we really need a new director of Central Intelligence who will endorse the findings of the 9/11 Commission. Is that going to be sort of the litmus test here, if you will?
Well, you know, there are. You know, it's a political season, a highly political season, and you are going to see a large number of battles on both sides. The Democrats are going to try to make the argument that this nomination is the moment to debate the failings of the CIA, particularly under the Bush administration, pay less attention to their failings under the Clinton administration. And they will also argue that it's the moment to debate intelligence reform. The Bush administration is going to make the argument that if the Democrats, or at least I expect them will, if the Democrats hold up this nomination, then they are the obstructionists to intelligence reform, and the most important thing is to get a director in place and get on with things. And this is no time to leave the CIA under acting leadership. So the interesting question is, does this come to a vote between now and Election Day?
And if it would, it would have to be presumably after the Republican National Convention, which begins, at the end of this month and goes into the month of September, so a fair amount of time from now. And all the various committees have already been in Washington or are scheduled to be in Washington between now and then, the intelligence committees, to go into 9/11 reviews.
That's right, but they can't take up the nomination till the Senate is back in session. And then, of course, whenever this does come up for a vote, if it does come up for a vote before Election Day, Senator Kerry and Senator Edwards will have to vote on this.
All right. David Sanger, stay with us. We're going to be talking more about the appointment of Republican Congressman Porter Goss to be a director of Central Intelligence. After we come back from a break, we're going to be hearing from two of his colleagues on the House Intelligence Committee, one from each side of the aisle. And we want to hear from you. If you have questions about Porter Goss or about the direction of the Central Intelligence Agency in this new era, our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. You can also email us, totn@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about the Central Intelligence Agency. Porter Goss, a Republican from Florida, has just been nominated by President Bush to be the new director of Central Intelligence. Our guest is David Sanger, White House correspondent for The New York Times. And joining us now is Anna Eshoo, Democratic member of the House Intelligence Committee. She's a Democrat from California. It's good to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you very much.
What's your you worked closely with Porter Goss, who's the chairman of your committee. What's your reaction to his nomination?
Well, first, I would offer my congratulations to Porter Goss. The House Intelligence Committee is a relatively small one. Some 18 members of the House serve on it. So you sit closely with one another and get to know one another well. Certainly, the confirmation of Porter Goss to be CIA director is a Senate matter, and they're going to weigh his nomination very seriously. He's a lovely man who has served in the House since 1988. What I think is really critical to hear from Porter Goss, especially when he goes through his confirmation hearings, is what kind of a commitment he has to the 9/11 Commission recommendations to overhaul the intelligence agencies. I think he has to demonstrate very clearly that he has a commitment to that. And the reason I raise the issue is because we have had a bill that's been languishing in the Intelligence Committee since last April to reform the intelligence community. So I think that that's at the top of the list. Is it going to be status quo? Are we going to go on with the kind of system that we know has the identified failures that the commission outlined? I think that that is at the top of the list.
At a time when many are concerned over what they would describe as the politicization of intelligence, is this the time to be nominating a politician?
Well, that's what the Senate is going to have to weigh very carefully. I know that the ranking member of the Senate, the second in, the co-chairman, I think, or the vice chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Senator Rockefeller, has expressed his views on that. That's going to have to be covered and weighed and examined very, very thoroughly in the Senate during the confirmation process. But I think right along with that, an examination of his commitment to overhauling the intelligence community. We cannot afford, I mean, if you like the system the way it is right now and what it has produced, that's one scenario. I think Porter Goss has to speak very firmly and with great clarity on where he is on the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission.
David Sanger, I know you have to run shortly. You've got a day job to go to, but yep. I did want to ask you about another development today regarding intelligence, and that is that reports out of Pakistan that one of the men who was apparently key to the intelligence coup last week that led to the terror alerts on the East Coast, a man named Mohammad Naeem Noor Khan, a computer expert arrested secretly in July, had been being used by Pakistan to track down al-Qaeda militants in Britain and in the United States, apparently being used essentially as a mole. Reports that basically last week his cover was blown when his name was published in American newspapers. Any reaction from the White House today on that?
I haven't. And, you know, we haven't even been able to sort out the question of whether or not the story itself is true. We've been hearing this for many days. It's not clear to us right now whether or not he was, in fact, a mole. And in Pakistan, it's always hard to tell because the ISI, the Pakistani Intelligence Service, is itself, as I think we've discussed before, Neil, quite divided in its own sympathies. So it may not even be clear to those deeply involved in this what exactly his role was.
All right. David Sanger, thanks again very much of the New York Times. We appreciate your time today.
Always good to be with you.
Okay. Anna Eshoo, again, whether this story is accurate or not, do you have any information, by the way, about this?
Well, I think that if it is so, and that it was leaked by the U.S., certainly the White House has to speak to this very directly. But if it is so, it is deeply troubling. We know today that that Pakistan and others are essentially walking across the ceiling because of what's happened. And anytime you have the compromise of excellent sources and or methods, that does damage to our overall intelligence. So I can't certainly verify whether it's so or not. I am saying if it is, certainly the White House needs to speak out on this. And how did this happen and by whom? Because, again, It's a huge compromise of something that of an individual that's very sensitive, and the work that's being done very sensitive.
One of the things that several people have said as this reorganization of U.S. intelligence, you're almost caught betwixt and between. If this is accurate, it speaks to a certain amount of confusion at best in U.S. intelligence and in communications with the Pakistanis and the British as to exactly what was going on here. At the same time, there's urgency on the behalf of the 9/11 commissioners, former Governor Kaine and former Congressman Hamilton from Indiana, saying, look, we've got to make these changes urgently. At the same time, you have people saying, look, this is all going to cause disruption. It's going to cause more problems.
Well, I have a very specific view on that. In fact, the minority leader of the House, Congresswoman Pelosi, called all the Democrats back to Washington to work on this very issue. We met and had a lengthy presentation by both Governor Kaine and former Congressman Lee Hamilton on the recommendations. I think that it is absolutely critical, as do many other members of Congress, that the recommendations of the commission be implemented. There would not be any kind of urgency whatsoever if, in fact, the commission and the families of the victims stuck with this. The White House never wanted a commission. The White House then did not want the commission fully funded. They wanted their work to end earlier rather than to carry out their mandate. And so there is a rocky road relative to their record. We are receiving reports every day. We have the alert system second to the highest right now in our country. Al-Qaeda and these terrorist organizations are not taking a congressional break. They continue their plotting and their planning. So the congressional leadership and the White House, in my view, need to act and to act right away. I think it was a mistake for the Speaker or the President. I should put it right to the President, to not call the Congress back into special session to debate and discuss legislation that is on the table in order to enact these reforms. We can't fiddle while terrorism continues to build and to metastasize around the world. Their singular purpose is to do in America and Americans. Now, there isn't any debate about that. So I feel very, very strongly about this, and that's why I think Porter Goss should speak to this, and certainly during the confirmation hearings to see where he is, how seriously he takes it, and what kind of implementation of these recommendations are actually made. This is the most urgent issue and urgent agenda for our country. It matters not whether someone is a Republican or a Democrat. This is what we must do.
One final question, Congresswoman Eshoo, and that is obviously one of the most important recommendations of the 9/11 Commission involved the reorganization of congressional oversight to stop the multiple overlaps and on all the committees hauling up these people from Homeland Security and other agencies all the time for testimony and that sort of thing. Any progress on that?
Well, what number one, for the listening public, the recommendations that the commission made are interlocking. So if the Congress goes through these and cherry picks, they take recommendation one, but they don't like 7 through 11, and then they take another one, but don't put others into place. This is meant to reform the entire intelligence community as well as reforming the Congress. It's essential that we do that. I have been highly critical as a year-and-a-half member of the House Intelligence Committee that oversight, that congressional oversight, is not all that it should be. We need need to strengthen that. It needs to be strengthened across the board. Certainly, if there are too many committees, they need to be weeded out. We need to have not only an authorizing role, but also the money role. That way, the intelligence community will pay very special attention to us. And I might add that the authorization, the intelligence authorization bill that is yet to be approved or where a conference committee convened, that bill only funds one-third of the counterterrorism annual budget. Now, I don't think you need to be a member of Congress to figure out that there is something deeply troubling and wrong about that. And I debated that at the committee. Mr. Goss did not see it that way and debated it on the floor as well. That should be 100% funded and not dependent upon when members of Congress come back after the elections to see if we pass some omnibus or supplemental bill. Counterterrorism should be 100% funded as we speak.
Anna Eshoo, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on your program.
Democrat Anna Eshoo of California, member of the House Intelligence Committee. We had scheduled an interview also with Congressman Peter Hoekstra, a Republican who serves on that same committee. He's from Michigan. We've not been able to get in touch with him. He may have been called away on other business. With us here in Studio 3A, and we're delighted, as always, to have him under any circumstances, is NPR Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving. Always good. Welcome back from vacation, Ron.
Thank you, Neil.
Okay.
Thank you. Good to be back.
And as you look ahead to the nomination process for Porter Goss, obviously there is someone in place, an interim director at the Central Intelligence Agency. But this is this likely to be, we're in the middle of a political election year, a political process?
Oh, it has to be a political process and would be one, of course, even if the election were not looming. But it is looming, and it is an extremely close election. And it is an election that, to an uncommon degree, is going to turn on events in the last weeks before the election. It's a very closely divided election, or a very closely divided electorate, 50-50 country, you hear people say. And the people who have not made up their minds are largely looking at questions having to do with Iraq and having to do with terror. Now, what are the questions that these hearings this fall will be about? They won't be about whether or not Porter Goss is qualified. He's manifestly qualified in terms of what we have asked of a CIA director in the past.
And we should point out that the two head commissioners of the 9/11 Commission have come out today and said, fine choice.
Fine choice. There is no vocal opposition to the man within the power structure of Washington, either party, not today. And we really are not hearing anything but the man's praises from most objective observers as well. He is very well qualified to be a conventional, traditional, what we've always expected, CIA director. Now, stop there and say, what is desired to go forward? Do we want a conventional, traditional, what we've always expected CIA director, or is this the moment for a big sea change? And the 9/11 Commission has suggested it's time for that sea change. We should reorganize, revamp, have a new vision of how we handle security or how we handle intelligence as a contribution to our security, and that's not necessarily something that you would put in the hands of someone who is the perfect conventional traditional choice.
We're talking about the nomination announced earlier today of Porter Goss to be the new director of Central Intelligence. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get some listeners in on the conversation. Joining us now is Marty, who's with us on the line from San Diego.
Good morning.
Good afternoon where we are, but good morning to you.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, do you think that it might move the entire process forward if the Democratic Party accepted Goss as the director of CIA in return for the president accepting the 9/11 Commission recommendation that it may be made a cabinet-level post wherein the Democrats would have perhaps a less partisan candidate in that new cabinet-level post?
Not only cabinet-level post, I think Democrats Ron Elving would be interested in the idea of budget control over intelligence agencies, a key recommendation of the 9/11 Commission. Package deal?
Package deal if things worked that way. But I'm afraid it's rarely that easy, and I'm not sure exactly where the balancing would take place, where that meeting would take place, where the president and the congressional leaders made that sort of quid pro quo. It is conceivable, and I think the caller has an excellent idea, that if you could put an intelligence czar in the White House with the kind of powers that the commission conceived of, and give that person authority over the FBI, over the CIA, and over a dozen other intelligence agencies that we have in the Pentagon and elsewhere in our government, that could be a kind of package deal. But let me just say that if you were going to package it that way, perhaps the person that you wanted at CIA would not be Porter Goss. Would he be interested in this job if he thought it was going to be merely subordinated to a national intelligence director? I'm not sure he would be.
Joining us now from Capitol Hill, and Marty, thanks very much for the call, is Republican Congressman Clay Shaw, and it's very nice of you to be with us today, and especially on such short notice.
Well, it's nice to be with you and talk about Porter Goss. Actually, I'm not on Capitol Hill now. I'm back in Florida, and there's quite a bit of excitement down here about Porter Goss's appointment by the president. We're very hopeful that it'll get through the Senate very quickly, and he'll be confirmed and in place.
Is his embrace of the 9/11 Commission reforms, do you think, necessary for his qualification to be director of Central Intelligence?
Well, what's important is that he supports what the president is going to propose as to what he should be doing. That's important. And I'm sure that knowing Porter as I do, and I've known him for 16 years. In fact, we're neighbors on Capitol Hill. We both have townhouses down from each other. We've been good, close friends for a number of years. I think he's a team player. There's no question about that. And I'm sure that he will support whatever his bosses advocate. And not that he's not his own man, but I'm sure that he will be in consultation with the president and helping to set up the new office, as everyone else is who is surrounding the president, including the FBI and other intelligence agencies in the Defense Department.
We just have a few seconds left in this segment, and I'm sorry to rush you, but this is a tough administrative job, a tough political job. Is Porter Goss up to it?
Porter Goss is definitely up to it. He is he served as a foot soldier in the intelligence agency, and he's been chairman of the intelligence agency intelligence committee inside the House of Representatives for now 6 to 8 years. So he's very well qualified. In fact, he was asked to stay on in this Congress by the Speaker of the House because we wanted him to stay in the job as chairman of the Intelligence Committee.
Congressman Shaw, again, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Republican Clay Shaw of Florida. We also give our thanks to NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. More after a break.